of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Raise your hand high if you are without your partner. Without? Okay. I hope, are they coming? Yes? No? Out of town? Okay. Out of service. Okay, this is the service he needs. Okay, because we will, God willing, we'll have a little workshop at the end. You can do it on your own, and maybe if your spouse isn't here, you can take one home and give it to him to do, and then you can finish the workshop at home. So you can start it today, and then you can finish it at home. Okay? So now we're going to begin to introduce the topic. We have a play. I think, anybody not understand Arabic? Everybody understands. Amina, you understand some, right? I think you'll make it out. Right? You can tell by the facial expressions what they're saying. So we'll watch this video as an introduction. So the
كنيسة دي جدك الدنيا كلها حبيبتي.
لا ما هو باين. قولي بقى هنعمل ايه النهاردة؟
النهاردة يا ستي ايه رأيك؟
ايه؟
نعمل اكل ونقعد ناكل في البيت.
اكل؟ نعمل اكل؟ البيت؟ بصل؟ مطبخ؟ مع الفالنتاين؟
ما انا هساعدك حبيبتي هعمل كل حاجة معاكي. ما تقلقيش ابدا.
انت هتساعدني؟
طبعا.
بجد؟
طبعا.
خلاص يبقى اوكي.
خلاص.
نعمل احلى اكل مع
أوكي.
بعض.
اوكي يلا بينا.
يلا نشوف بقى نعمل ايه مع بعض.
اوكي
يلا تعالي.
اوكي يلا بينا.
يلا. يوسف.
ايوه حبيبتي جاي جاي بقى جاي.
اوكي مستنياك.
انا لسه عاملك حبيبتي.
ايوه انا مستنياك لما تيجي عشان نشوف هناكل ايه.
شكله كده بقى احلى فالنتاين النهارده. ايه ده انت مستنيه حد؟
لا.
ايه ده طنش طنش كانك ما سمعتيش حاجه.
لا اطنش ايه افرض حاجه مهمه.
طيب دي هشوفها بمين وهتجيب.
ماشي.
امال يا كمان نسيت.
ايه ده بجد؟
اه اهلا اهلا ازيك؟
فالنتاين
ازيك؟ ازيك؟
هاي
يا حبيبي
هابي فالنتاين.
هاي هو فين؟ هو فين؟ احمد؟ ده يا اخي الماتش ابتدى فين التلفزيون؟
فوق 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 فوق
يلا 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 وراك يلا فوق يلا. تعالي
بقى
وقولي
عايزة تشربي ايه؟
لا لازم تقولي تشربي ايه؟
يا حبيبتي ما تتعبيش نفسك احنا كده كده خارجين نتغدى بره.
ليه عشان الفالنتاين؟
طبعا جوزي حبيبي ربنا يخليهولي عازمني في مكان رومانتك. طبعا انتوا ما بتخرجوش في الاماكن دي اصلا.
لا انا كمان جوزي حبيبي عازمنا على احلى ريستورانت عشان الفالنتاين برضو.
طب انت ايه مش عندك فالنتاين النهارده وعندك دينر بره؟
فالنتاين مين يا عم؟ فالنتاين ده بدعه عامله بس ستات عشان يضحكوا بيهم على الرجاله. خليني بس في الماتش.
لا علمك بقى انا جوزي ما بيعزمنيش بس في الفالنتاين.
امال ايه؟
انا كل ويك اند جوزي ما بيبقاش عارف يوديني فين ولا فين انا والاولاد.
كل ويك اند ما بعملش حاجه غير ان انا ايه يتفرج على التي في يا الا ادخل انام. حتى الولاد بخلص منهم بوديهم الام سي بي ده اقتراع ايه بس يا خساره مره واحده بس في الشهر لو كان يعملوه مرتين ثلاثه ايه يبقى ايه بفكرنا اشكر ربنا عليه ده احلى حاجه. ولو ساعات ما فيش امسي فيه بوديهم عند ستهم واقعد انا ملك، يا اتفرج يا الا انام، اعمل زي ما انا عايز. مش تقول لي ايه فالنتاين
انا جوزي بقى بيجيب لي حاجات كتيره قوي في الفالنتاين.
بجد
هو انت جوزك بيجيب لك حاجه ولا مطنشك؟
لا ازاي، بجيب لي حاجات كتيره قوي ولسه هيفاجئني.
لعلمك انا كل يوم جوزي بيعملي مفاجاه، وكل مفاجاه ومفاجاه احسن من اللي قبلها. انت عارفه كان في حته شنطه عجباني، فضل يدور معايا ويلف في المحلات ويجري من المحل ده للمحل ده لغايه لما
اتكسر وقع على دماغه. خلاص مش هينفع، بص ركبته خلاص باظت، ولا حتى السيزون الجاي. خلاص فقدنا الامل.
من كتر الكلام الحلو اللي بيقولهولي والوقت الطويل اللي بيقضيه معايا انا والاولاد، يا حبيبتي ده ما بيبقاش عارف يعمل ايه، كل ويك اند يقعد معانا في البيت ويقضيه معانا.
بيفضي نفسه، ده حتى الويك اند ما بيقضيهوش معانا.
يا حبيبتي فضفاضي انا عارفه اللي عندك، معلش معلش. انا بقى ما ببقاش عارفه اعمل له ايه ولا ايه، لدرجه اني مره فكرت وجبت له حته
سكته قلبيه. الكوتش ده هيجي له سكته قلبيه،
حرام عليهم.
ما فيش فايده. انا
فيري رومانتك، فيري رومانتك. جوزي ده بيقعد يقولي كلام حلو قوي، كلام يجنن. يا حرام طبعا انتي ما تعرفيش الحاجات دي خالص.
مين قالك انا كمان جوزي فيري رومانتك؟
إذا هو أنت جوزك بيقولي كلام حلو؟
قوي.
طب لعلمك بقى أنا جوزي مش بس بيقولي كلام حلو،
أمال إيه؟
ده بيقعد يبعتلي في ميس كولز وفي مسجز، ده كل يوم الصبح لما بيشوفني بيقولي
إيه القرف ده؟ أهو مش عارف يعمل حاجة. ياه لا النهاردة بيلعبوا زي الزفت.
طبيعي يا حبيبتي، مش كل الرجالة زي بعض، عشان مش كل الستات زي بعض.
هو الجيم ده فضله كتير ولا إيه؟
يا ابني احنا لسه في الشوط الاول، ده لسه كتير. بص نقول للفالنتاين بتاعك يعمل لنا شويه مينز. يلا روح بقى نعمل فارمي.
لسه نقعد؟
انا كده بقى عملت اللي عليا. بقول لك احنا هنمشي بقى عشان نلحق نسليبريت الفالنتاين
يكون احسن.
نعم قلتي حاجه؟
عشان تلحقوا ما تتاخروش.
بحث يا نادر.
نادر
سامع ولا ايه؟
سامع ايه؟ مين؟
مراتك بتنده عليك؟
اعمل حاجة.
انتوا مش خارجين النهاردة؟
يا عمي خارجين ايه؟ انا لو سبت الماتش ده انا هروح انام. خلاص ده انت حاجة يا اخي.
هنمشي احنا بقى. يلا باي. انت بلانتاين
يسو
حبيبتي.
هبقى
اتصل
عليكم بالتليفون.
مش لازم. باي.
كتيرا بقى لوحدينا. ايه رايك نكمل بقى الاكل ونقعد مع بعض شويه؟
خلاص اوكي.
يلا. طيب يلا بينا. ايه ده؟
اوبس انا نسيت اقول لك، انا عزمت ماما تقضي الفالنتاين معانا.
ماما مين؟ امك؟
ايه امك دي يا يوسف؟
طب ما تزعليش يا ستي ماما. طب ايه اللي جابها في الفالنتاين؟
هنسيبها واقفه كتير. بص هي قاعده تبص علينا.
خليها واقفه برضه.
يلا بقى افتح لها. يوسف
ستي خليها واقفه برضه.
يوسف لا ماما.
ايه يا ولادي؟
حماتي حبيبتي منورانا.
اهلا يا حبيبي.
ازيك؟
وحشتيني.
منورانا يا حماتي.
حبيبتي وحشتيني.
اه يا حبيبتي ازيك؟ عامله ايه؟ وحشاني.
انت عامله ايه؟
انا كويسه يا حبيبتي الحمد لله.
انت وحشاني قوي.
الله
يخليك.
تعالي تعالي يا عوتي، انت وحشاني
قوي. شنطتي دي مشوار بعيد قوي.
تعبتي؟
اه. ازيك يا حماتي عامله ايه؟
اهلا يا حبيبتي.
انا بدك قلت لمراتي اليوم من غير حماتي يبقى يوم مش عادي.
لولا ان مراتك هي اللي قالت لي تعالى انا ما كنتش جايه.
طب تحبي تشربي ايه يا طنط؟
قهوه.
لا خليك انت حبيبتي. انا هقوم.
خليك انت مستريحه انا هعملها.
ما تخليك معانا يا حبيبي.
اقعدي.
ايه
يعني هيخف؟ ما
تسيبيني. انا تعبانه طول النهار في الشغل.
وانت اللي مرتاحه قوي، ما انت بتطبخي وتغسلي وتمسحي وخسيتي وبقيتي بنص. ما بتاكليش يا بنت؟
ايوه يا طنط. عايزه القهوه شكلها ايه؟
بلاك يا حبيبي بلاك.
طبعا بلاك.
قولي لي بقى يا بنتي حلوه
انت، ايه يا ماما
جابلك ايه في الفالنتاين داي؟ جوزك
جابلي بوكي ورد حلو قوي يا ماما وانا حبيته.
ورد وحبيتيه؟ الخيبه اللي انت فيها دي.
ايه يا ماما؟
طب اسأليه يجيب لك حته عقد بدل الفالصو اللي انت لابساه ده تحطيه في صدرك، ولا حته دايموند، ولا حته جولد، ولا ساعه انضف من اللي انت لابساها دي. ما تبقيش خايبه. اسمعي يا بت، دلوقتي عايزاكي تلبسي وتخرجي وتتفسحي وتخليه يجيب لك كل حاجه. خليكي زي امك
بلاك، قصدي القهوة دانت بلاك.
تسلم ايدك.
العفو.
تسلم ايدك حبيبي.
العفو حبيبتي. مستنية حد تاني حبيبتي دلوقتي؟
لا يا حبيبي مش مستنية حد.
صرحيني قوليلي.
لا انا كنت مستنية ماما بس مش مستنية حد تاني بجد.
ما كفاية علينا ماما.
بابا
يا خويا
منوري ماما.
غالبا that was understood مش كده؟ right Mina? You guys understood it? Okay. We, God willing, today we'll continue our discussion about the five love languages. How to express love in the way that my spouse will understand it. As we said last week, all of us have a particular love language that, in which we interpret how we understand love. I think last week we spoke about words of affirmation, what it is, you know, that when I speak with someone and give them encouraging and supportive words, this tells them that I love them. last week also we spoke about what is love, and we took this from a biblical standpoint because we want the standard to be the Word of God. The standard should be الكلمه بتاعت ربنا. And we of course referred to 1 Corinthians. لو في ميكروفون ممكن حد يعني يقراها. Can read it for us.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Okay, so this is the standard of love for all of us, not only as married couples, but as Christians. And you look, of course, the standard is very high. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then I like this quote here, I found it says, love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. To love somebody isn't just a strong feeling, it is a decision, a judgment, and a promise. So we have to keep in mind the person that we're loving is an imperfect person. That's important for us to know. I'm sure all of us, if we've been married for more than a month, we are well aware of this. And then we spoke about the stages of love in terms of a marital relationship. It starts with the warm, fuzzy feelings when you're first getting to know each other. Then there's this emotional attachment where, you know, two people are talking to each other. And I can recall a scenario that I know somebody who's beginning a relationship. And, you know, her sibling was telling me that, you know, yeah, this guy, he told me it's such a funny joke, the guy that she's interested in. So she tells Sharon, my wife, this joke. And then at the end of it, Sharon was like, it's not funny. But she was laughing, you know. Love, you know, خلاص, once we get in this attachment, anything becomes funny. My wife used to think I was funny until after we got married. Then no more, not funny. I've fallen into the corny category. I thought that would come later with Joshua, but I'm already there. So there's emotional attachment. And if this emotional attachment doesn't have boundaries or it's not preserved in the godly way, it can lead to emotional obsession, as we said last week, and this can be dangerous for an early part of the relationship. Then we have the euphoric stage, which was we're on the high on each other, and typically people get married in this stage, and they think that this is going to be Prince Charming and my whatever lawfully loved wife and everything when we live happily ever after, as we see in the Disney movies. Then, after we get back from the honeymoon, reality starts to set in, and about maybe a year later, the euphoria has, you know, leveled off, and then we have what we call the intentional love. And this is where it's a required intentional effort to meet the needs of your spouse. So no longer is it something that it's a high, but I have to make effort to love my spouse, to do the things that make her feel loved or make him feel loved. And this is what we're speaking about, this intentional love. Because oftentimes after this high, we don't know how to give intentional love. Maybe because we weren't trained as kids. So we said, can tarnished love be rekindled? So if I and my spouse don't have this loving relationship that we used to back when we were engaged and when we were first married, can this love be rekindled? Can we start this love anew? And the answer, of course, is yes. And this is the subject of the five love languages. We said first, the words of affirmation was the first love language. And in the book of Proverbs, it says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So a good word, a word tajgiyah, kalimat tajgiyah, can yani change somebody's attitude. It can say, okay, now I'm upset and I'm coming to you maybe in an offensive way, but an encouraging word can soften that. How is it communicated? We, through encouraging words, we affirm him, understand or her, understand their feeling, make them feel appreciated, understand their feelings. Empathy doesn't mean like we feel sorry for them, but empathy means we understand how they can feel the way that they feel. So it's like putting yourselves in their shoes and understanding how whatever it is that they did or went through can be troubling. It's like oftentimes, kids, sometimes the wife or husband, the wife might come home and start telling her husband about her boss. They had a, you know, really tough day, and her boss did this, this, and this. The husband says, you know what, you need to set boundaries, go and tell him this, this, and this. You know? So he's heard the problem, and as a typical man, offered the solution. Now go, what? Nafiziha, right? So then she comes back the next day, my boss did this, this, and this, and this. Didn't I just tell you yesterday? Yesterday is what? You forgot already? Okay, this is what you need to do. You need to go face him, tell him your boundaries, and blah, 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 and go do this. She's like, okay. She goes to work the next day, does the same thing. So then by the third or fourth day, he's like, khalas, I already told you. I don't, yani, come to me for help again. Yani, I already told you what you needed to do. So here, the husband wasn't empathizing, wasn't feeling the feelings of the wife, but he was more of dealing with her like a patient or a client. This is your symptoms, these are your complaints, here's the solution. This is an empathy. And then we spoke about listening actively. How do we improve this love language? Maybe by sending unexpected like love notes or texts or cards. You know, I think all of the spouses, we expect a card or something on our birthday, right? And Valentine's Day. And what else? Anniversary, very good. And maybe, if you're lucky, Christmas, right? So these are expected. So typically, you know, it's the unexpected that's communicated as love. You know, it's the, you've ever heard the phrase, the just because gift? These. So you give a card just because. So when she gets it, she's like, why am I getting this? Or why, you know, the husband say, why are you giving me this? Oh, just because, no particular reason. This actually is a great way to tell your spouse that I love you. Talk about on the occasions, it's appreciated, but it's also what? It's expected. things to avoid in this love language is non-constructive criticism. To criticize without the purpose of building, you know, or trying to make somebody better. Also, not to recognize or appreciate effort. So if somebody, if my husband, you know, goes and takes my car and gets it cleaned and everything and then pulls it in the garage and I'm getting something from the garage and go inside without saying anything, then he feels like this communication of love was, you know, wasn't taken. So we want to avoid not saying or recognizing things that they have done for us. So this brings us to the second love language, which is quality time. We'll spend the most of, you know, a few minutes on this, and one more love language, and then we'll finish with the last two next week or next month. Quality time. Time is one of the most valuable gifts we have. Time is the most valuable gifts that we have. Why? Because you can't get it back, right? Once time is spent, it's done. It's not like money, where money, we can invest, and then we can what? We can take it back, maybe with interest. But money, I mean, time is something that is given, and we can't take it back. So it's very precious. Just like we ask that, you know, everybody gives time to God, a tenth of their time in the morning prayers and reading scripture. And these things is the way we tell God that we love Him, because we're giving Him what's most precious to us, which is our time. The same thing goes for our spouse. When we give them our time, this tells them that they're valuable and you love them. Deficiency in the type of love will present with negative emotions towards whatever is consuming your spouse's time. So if your spouse doesn't feel like you're spending enough quality time with them, how will they let you know? If they're not used to verbalizing how they feel, what they'll end up doing is they'll start attacking and speaking negative about whatever it is that's taking your time. For example, if a husband sits, comes home from work, goes and sits on the computer, right, and starts working on the computer or searching stuff, then the wife will get angry and say, this computer is breaking our marriage. Or I hate this computer, the internet's terrible, right? Or if I'm going out with some of my coworkers at work, then my wife will say, it's your people at your work, and I hate them, and this and that. So they begin to attack the things that are taking you away from her or from him. And this can work even in things that might not be, you know, that bad. For example, athletics. So if a wife is on a volleyball team and she comes home and, you know, she's out two days a week playing volleyball, the husband's like, okay, when are you going to come spend time with me and the kids? You come home and then you go out and you play, you know, play volleyball. So it can even be sports. Sports are good, but maybe the other partner feels that it's taking from their time. And if you see here these two pictures, it looks like in the first picture, the guy's on the computer and the girl is looking at him, seemingly to want his attention. And he's not giving her attention. So this is not quality time. Quality time is not where I'm just in the presence of my partner and I can be doing something else. But quality time is giving your undivided attention to your spouse, just you two. Not you two and the kids, or, you know, you two and mom, as we saw in the video, right? But it's only you two. This one over here, on the bottom, he's on the phone, and she's sitting there, you know, by herself. Maybe they were talking, and he got a phone call, and then he says, hold on a minute. So what does this communicate? That whatever's on the other side of this phone call is more valuable because I'm giving them now my time instead of you. So this can be, of course, is not good. What are things that your spouse has mentioned they would like to do together? Ask yourselves, you know, if I think my wife or my husband's primary love language is quality time, they will let you know. They will let you know how. They'll say, why don't we go take a walk together? Why don't we, you know, sit and have dinner, candlelit dinner, and just talk with each other? Okay? If they say, come, let's watch a movie together, this may not be necessarily their primary love language, because quality time means just you and me talking. Okay? And let me remind you, I'm not sure if I said this last month or not, or the month before, but there are five love languages. And we have usually one primary. So one is the strongest form. But all of them are applicable in all of our lives. So we can communicate love in all five ways, but know the one that your spouse understands the best. must make time despite the costs. Spending time with somebody, it's going to cost you. Say, for example, if I'm this, you know, new person in this company and I'm trying to work hard so I can get higher in the company. This might take some time outside of work. And I think most of us have experienced working overtime, right? This is what this is called. But when this overtime starts to impinge on the relationship between with you and your spouse, then there needs to be some limits that are set here. I can remember when Sharon and I were first married, the first year of our marriage, we came back from our honeymoon, and I came and started a new job. And when I was interviewing, I asked the guy, what are my hours? And he was very vague. He told me, you know, you can start about 8 or 9 o'clock and you finish usually about 6. Okay, it was very vague. And when I started working after like a few weeks, I noticed the hours were from 9 to 9. And then at this time, Sharon was doing like residency and she was doing the overnight shift. So literally, she would come home, we would touch hands, and she would go sleep and I would leave. And then in the evening, I would come home, we'd touch hands, I'd go in and sleep and have dinner, and she'd go to work. So this happened for like 2 weeks. So I had a discussion with my manager and I told him, you know, if we're planning on opening this many hours, then maybe we need to, stagger the shift. And he didn't like my recommendation. And he said, you know what, I don't like this. And if you want to make it in this company, you need to, be willing to put in the hours. So I said to myself, okay. So now he's putting me between a rock and a hard place. So I started looking for other jobs. Okay. By God's grace, after 2 weeks, somebody had called me, and I went in, and I told him, I actually sent him an email and said, please accept my resignation because of this, this, and this, and this. So if the time at work is costing your relationship, yes, you might be getting more money, but then in return, you're losing something. Okay? So the time that we spend with one another is very valuable, and when we spend it with one another, it tells them that we're important. Or you're important. And it doesn't mean that you have to forfeit your dreams and aspirations. Giving your time doesn't mean you're going to give all your time and quit your job and stay home and just sit and stare at your husband or your wife. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is, if I give enough time, it's like an investment, and then this investment will win her or him on my side, and then we can grow together. So all it means when we give our spouse the time they need is that by the time I make it to the top, she or he will be with me. I won't be by myself. So how to develop this language? How does one develop this love language? The first, we'll talk about several things. First is focused attention. So when we're speaking, we look at each other, make eye contact. Quality conversation, something that's a conversation that's beneficial. Develop the art of listening. So how to listen when our spouse is speaking, and learning to talk. And then lastly, quality activities. So we'll take them one by one. Focused attention. This is, like we said, not being distracted. If we're talking, then I'm giving my full undivided attention. I remember once when I was sitting with just me and Joshua in the house, and we were playing together. I don't remember what it was, like Legos or something. And he oftentimes kind of starts building things on his own. So I say, okay, now's my chance. So I pulled out my phone, and somebody had texted me, Abuna, I need this. So I looked at my phone, and I don't know how he saw me, but he comes and he looked at me. He's like, Daddy, look at me. It hurt, because he wanted my full undivided attention. So I put the phone away, and that's it. Put it on silent and never heard it again. So our kids will be able to express that. Sometimes when we feel adults express that, we say, oh, you're just, they're just like kids. They don't really need it. They should be independent. But no, when it comes to a marriage relationship, we need to listen. When our spouses say they want our time, take it as if it was your child, because this is important in the communication of love. Also, whenever we spend time together, the actual activity itself is insignificant. So somebody whose primary love language is quality time, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be taking a walk. It can be playing Legos, even if we're adults. It could be playing checkers or chess. It doesn't matter what the activity is. What only matters is that we're together. It could be, it doesn't matter what it is. Quality conversation. What does this mean? Listen to this carefully. Sympathetic dialogue where two individuals are sharing their experiences, thoughts, and feelings and desires in a friendly, uninterrupted manner. So a quality conversation has to fulfill all of these. Sympathetic, so understanding. So I'm not having a conversation where my opinion is the one that will overrule. But a sympathetic is, I understand your point of view, and you understand my point of view. And then where two individuals share, so they share their experiences, thoughts, and feelings, and desires in a what? Friendly, uninterrupted manner. So when we're gathered together in an unfriendly manner, speaking about the finances at home, this is not quality conversation. They can put that under necessary conversation. But it's not quality conversation. Actually, they recommend, I remember when I took a pre-marriage course, they recommended that for the sensitive subjects or the subjects that need debate, save them for one day a week, if need be. Pick a day. Say, this is the day we're going to speak about the finances, the kids, children's behavior, you know, if it's nothing emergent, of course. So all of maybe the subjects where there might be a difference of opinion. And we'll sit and discuss it calmly. But we have this set. And then the other days we can spend, you know, enjoying our company. But if every day, الفلوس ومشارف إيه and this and that, it makes for every day to be a miserable day. At least this way one day in the week is miserable. Not all of them. Also, this quality conversation differs from what we spoke about last week, which is the words of affirmation. How so? The words of affirmation, so words of affirmation, it says what we are saying. It's more concerned or focused about what we are saying. What am I saying to my spouse? But when we speak about a quality conversation, it's what we are hearing. So I'm conversing with my spouse to hear from them, not to say to them. Okay? So everybody understand the difference? So words of affirmation is the words that I say to you to express to you that I love you. But when we talk about quality conversation, if it's a good conversation, I have to spend more time listening to what you're saying, not me speaking. Okay? So it differs here. Listen with the desire to understand the person's thoughts, feelings, and hopes. Do you guys know thoughts, feelings, hopes, opinions? All of these things are actually within the boundary of a person. They're actually, each person is free to feel, think, and desire their own things. So it's actually inappropriate for a husband or a wife to tell them you have no right to feel the way that you feel, because actually everybody can feel the way that I want to. It's something, it's in me. It's not in your control. So when we start to conversate with each other, I'm trying to understand how the person feels, thinks, desire, what they desire, what are their hopes and dreams. So the purpose is to understand them better and to listen to them, not just, you know, impose my opinion and my thoughts and feelings on somebody else. Those who impose their opinion, thoughts and feelings on others are labeled as being controlling. These are the people that are controlling. They want to control everybody. Maybe they do the same thing with their spouse, and maybe they do the same thing with their children. Think to it. If I'm the person that always likes my opinion to be heard and to be agreed with, then maybe we need to think, am I a controlling person or not? The author of the book says, marriage is a relationship, not a project to be completed. It's not a task. When we speak with our spouse, it's not a task. It shouldn't be a task. Something we just checked off. Instead, Abuna said we should speak to each other and spend a night or two, so it's checked off. It's not a project, but it's a relationship. Give and take. Making adjustments. Developing the art of listening. So how do we listen? Maintaining eye contact when your spouse is talking. So when your spouse is talking, you look her in the eye and you speak with her. And then with your phone rings, and then what, you know, always have that urge. Even this little move is not good. Okay? Let it ring. Nothing urgent's gonna happen, or somebody's gonna need you more than the person that you married. Okay? And you married this person because she was the most valuable, or he was the most valuable person in the whole world. And I tell, you know, young people who want to get married, this person should be the apple of your eye that you marry. You want to marry them because you feel like this person is the best in the whole world. There's nobody better, and that's why I'm getting married. So if this is the case, then no distraction should take the place of your spouse talking to you. So maintain eye contact. Don't listen while doing something else. So don't say, you know, you're doing the bills online and your wife is coming to complain to you about her job. Don't be like, yeah, ooh, $100 minus. This isn't good. What happens if what you're doing is very important and your wife comes in or your husband comes in complaining about his day? What can you do? If you can't speak there in a moment, say, just give me 2 minutes or 5 minutes. I'm just going to finish this and then I'll close the computer and you have my undivided attention. What does this say? That you are valuable. I want to give you my undivided attention, but I'm just in the middle of something. And when we say, Abuni Nan told me something, I think with the timing, he says 5 minutes equals 15 minutes. You know what 10 minutes equals? 45 minutes. And actually, right after he told me, somebody says, I'll be there in 10 minutes, and it was really 45 minutes. So I don't know how he figured that out, but it's relatively true. But we need to get in the habit of saying exactly what I mean. Don't just say 5 minutes just to get them off your back. But if it's going to take you 5 minutes, if it's going to take you 10 minutes, say 10 minutes. But then really after 10 minutes, you're off. Okay? And then what that tells them what? That I'm going to make time for you and that what you're saying is important. And I don't want to just listen to it without my undivided attention. Listen to feelings. Oftentimes the things that people say aren't the same as what they're feeling. You know, want to try to pull out what the feelings are. And we need to here distinguish between the thoughts and the feelings. So when somebody comes and they're expressing what happened at work, for example, the people that I'm working with are this, this, and this, and this. Then you say, yeah, you know what, I agree with you. They are this, 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 and this. Actually, what you're doing here is giving your opinion on what happened, on the situation. So these are your thoughts. But understanding the feelings is she's upset. What happened at work upset her and she's, you know, or he's, you know, very taken by this. So you need to understand the feelings that are associated, not just the thoughts and your thoughts. What emotions is my spouse expressing? She feeling sad? He feeling happy? Do they feel maybe lonely? Do they feel abandoned? Again, we want to get to the heart of the emotions. Verbalize your understanding of their emotions. So sometimes if they go in this big old rant, and then you can come back and you can summarize back to them, where you say, it seems like you are feeling kaza, kaza, kaza. And then they'll be like, yes. When you do that, they understand that you felt them. But don't say, you know, it's not like, you don't want to say, yes, the person, you know, at work is bad, and they shouldn't have did this, and we should go, and let's go sue them. Here, you're dealing with the thought, not with the feeling. And when people feel like their feelings are understood, then they're satisfied. Then they feel satisfied. Observe body language. Again, sometimes body language doesn't communicate or doesn't match up to what people are saying. And this will find, like, if she's coming in or your husband's coming in and he's speaking about, you know, whatever, and his legs are shaking, okay? And then maybe there's something he didn't tell you. Maybe his boss told him that if you don't do this project, I'm going to let you go in a week, and he didn't want to say anything. So you need to look at the body language as well. And that's why they say actions speak louder than words. The same body language oftentimes cannot lie. And if they don't match, we need to ask for clarification. If the body language and the words don't match, we need to be sure to clarify. Don't just let it go. If something doesn't look right, if she's sweating while she's talking to you, if he's breathing heavy, ask. Don't leave it unnoticed. Or don't be like, مش عايز يكلم معها عشان العملية تطول. وانا عايز اروح الكمبيوتر ولا مش عايز اعرف اعمل ايه. Okay? So we have to ask. Lastly, refuse to interrupt. They said, you know, the average person can only listen for 17 seconds before interrupting. That's not very long to express somebody's feelings and maybe their day. So try not to interrupt. Let your spouse or your husband talk until they are finished and don't interrupt. Even if there are things maybe you disagree with or things in there that you feel, you know, whatever, aren't justifiable, that's okay. Stay silent until the end. When we let people speak all the way through, again, it tells them that we value what they're saying. I don't want to just finish, but I want to hear you and I want to help you. Okay? So these are the art of listening. How about learning to talk? Oftentimes, I think the guys have more trouble with this than the females, because the females, I think by nature, talk. Okay? So the female might come and say, I wish my husband would talk. I never know what he is thinking or feeling. Sometimes the men, we kind of, when something's bothering us and things aren't going right, we kind of go in a shell. We kind of like act like a crab that retracts into their shell until, you know, they feel safe. So sometimes we need to learn as men, it could work both ways, but learn to speak. Sometimes families that don't encourage their children to express their feelings, these people can develop into people that don't like to talk or feel like they can't talk, or they can't describe their emotions. For example, like if a child comes and requests a toy from their parent, and then the child is met with, the parent gives them the spiel of the finances. You, me and your mother are working two jobs and we can't afford this, this, and this, and you know, I don't care what all the other kids are doing, maybe their parents are millionaires and they can afford it, but we can't afford it. What does this tell the child? Basically, hush. Don't express your desires and your feelings at all, but just keep quiet. So then this kid will grow up not knowing how to express his feelings. All my feelings are kept inside. They're all bottled up inside. We should encourage our children to express their feelings, their desires, their needs. Doesn't mean we get them everything they want, no. But we can talk with them. But let them feel free and validated when they express themselves. And this will help them in their maturation process and becoming adults. Self-revelation, or speaking about one's feelings, is not easy. Especially if it's not something you're used to. As guys, I think maybe it's much harder for us to express, first to identify our feelings, and second to speak about them. Knowing your emotions, again, like we mentioned, we have to distinguish the feelings from the thoughts, the emotions from what I'm thinking. We spoke about this already. Emotions are neither good nor bad. Emotions are neither good nor bad. It's just the natural way that we react to the environment around us. So I can't say to my spouse, my husband or my wife, I can't say to them, you know, the way you're feeling is off the charts. It's uncalled for. You're blowing things out of proportion. We can't say this because one is free to express their emotions as they like, and to express themselves as they like, especially in marriage. They should feel able to do this. Lastly, quality activities. Okay? So what are the essentials for quality activity? So if we're going to set and say, okay, honey, we're going to go pick somewhere, something to do together. What needs to be met for this to be a quality activity? Okay? The first is that one of us must be interested in doing it. So if, like, I like to play tennis and my wife likes to jog, for example, I'm not going to suggest let's go play basketball, okay? Because neither of us, you know, like it. So one of us has to like it. And mind you, not both of us, just one. The second one is the second person, or the other person, has to be willing to do it. Say, for example, the woman likes to go watch ballet, okay? The husband, you know, I'd rather not. Let's pick something else. He's not willing. Okay, let's pick something else. But he says, okay, we can go watch whatever, a chick flick. Okay? We can watch a chick flick together. But I'm not going to go to the ballet. Okay. Then they'll do that together. So there has to be a willingness. Same with the girl. You know, if he says, let's go watch a football game. No, it's too violent. I don't like it. You know, whatever. Okay, how about a baseball game? I can tolerate it. It's very slow and we can talk in between. Okay? So one person has to like it, and two, the other has to be willing. The last requirement is that both have to understand the reason and purpose why they are doing it. So the guy, if they're going to the baseball game, has to understand they're going to the baseball game to spend a good time with his wife, not to root on his favorite team like Nader did in the video, right? So we have to understand the purpose of this activity. And actually, it's these times where we're bonding in a certain activity that we build memories. If you think back to your childhood and maybe to the time of your engagement, typically the memories that you are most fond are the ones that stay in your long-term memory. And oftentimes they're attributed with different places and being, you know, seeing different things or experiencing different things together. For example, I still remember when me and Sharon went to the museum in New York. So what we were doing an activity together. I don't remember what we ate that day. I don't remember what we talked about that day. But the event I remember. So when we spend quality time and do a quality activity together, it's the way we can build long-term and lasting memories. The more of these memories, pleasant memories we have with one another, this will confirm our love for one another. And that's why sometimes, you know, the a piece of advice that some people can give to a married couple that's, you know, having a rocky time, go on vacation. Go on vacation together. It doesn't have to be, you know, to the Bahamas or whatever, but it can be locally, but maybe I go to a hotel. So it feels like you're somewhere, you know, different. But here the point is you're spending the quality time together. Receiving gifts. We'll finish this one here, only two slides. So the gift is something tangible that expresses love or value. The gift is something that expresses something tangible that expresses love or value. And typically you'll find that love in its nature always has some kind of gift that's given with it. At least the lasting loves. For example, Christ's love for us, what did he give us? He gave us his life, right? And he gave us the Holy Spirit. So because he loves us, he gives to us. Okay? So whether this is our primary love language or not, where there is love, there is typically some kind of giving. Whether it's a physical gift or a tangible gift like what we're speaking of, or it's, you know, the gift of my ear, the gift of my presence, as we'll speak about. The gift is a symbol of thoughtfulness from the person. He was thinking of me. She noticed me. Okay? It's just like, you know, if somebody comes, for example, comes over to your house. I don't know if somebody, no, this person isn't here. Like, for example, me and Abuna went to go visit somebody last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. And we got there, you know, we typically do our regular visit and everything. And then on our way out, they came and they gave us a gift. And sometimes people do it, sometimes don't. I don't want any. No, don't give me, I don't want any. But they were kind and they got us something, so we took it and we left. I got home and I opened it and I found that it was a personalized engraved message. So what does this communicate? Was this something they went to pick up from Walmart right before we came? No, but something they thought about beforehand as an expression of what? As an expression of love. So it's a gift, but it has an intangible like meaning to it. Or it's communicating something besides he can use this, you know? Visual symbols of love. Of course, the classic is the wedding band. As a sign of love, the husband and wife exchange, you know, rings as, you know, a gift to one another. The husband will get, you know, the wife a ring, and the wife will get the husband his ring. The cost for a person whose love language is gifts, the cost really doesn't matter. Usually doesn't matter. But it's the thought that comes behind the gift. Right? You know, have you ever heard that saying, when somebody gives you a gift, they say it's the thought that counts? I see some people here laughing about when I said the cost doesn't matter, right? Actually, Let's skip this one. Actually, the cost doesn't matter unless it's out of, you know, category. Say, for example, if I'm a millionaire and I go to the dollar store to get my wife a gift. And then here, but there's a problem, right? So it should be reasonable. But if I'm, you know, we're making it, we're just making it, and I go get something for $15, $20, okay, that's fine. It doesn't need to be $100, $200, $300 every time. Okay, but it just needs to be like reasonable. You don't want to, then it means something else. It would be more of an insult than an expression of love. Gifts can be purchased, found, or made. Some of the most precious gifts are the ones that are made by hand. And typically we think of this from our children, right? When they come home from school and they give us, you know, this Valentine's Day card that they made for us at school, all of you are smiling because you remember this, and this was an expression of love from your child to the parents. And we often as parents don't get this. So when they do this, it's something we cherish. So imagine doing this for your spouse. That same smile you all just made about your children, the same will happen with your spouse if their primary love language is receiving gifts. And they can also be found, like a flower, if you're walking down, if you're walking in a park. This love language is actually the easiest to learn. It's very easy. You know, some of the other ones, they're more difficult to learn if it's your spouse's love language. This one's very easy. How? Make note about the gifts your spouse has expressed interest in receiving. So if you're out, you know, at the mall and your wife sees a blouse and says, yeah, this is really nice, you know, and puts it back, you take out your phone, write it down, okay, or take a picture of it, something. So you make note of the things that she expressed that she would love to receive, okay? And if you're Zay Halati and you don't know what your wife wants or anything, actually, I'll tell you my secret later, but you can even ask a friend or a family member, what would she like or what would he like to receive as a gift that would tell him or her that I love them? If you're like me, I just go to our Amazon, get our shopping cart, and I pick something from there. The Sony just puts everything in the shopping cart. I mean, إلى الأبد, you know, so I just go look and shop on the shopping cart. So if you can get your spouse to do that, save you some time. So what about the spender versus the investor? Some people might say, okay, getting gifts is good, but by my nature, I am an investor. I'm thinking about the future. I want to save my money. I'm not a big spender. I don't even spend it on myself. Why would I get something, you know, for her? Taban, if you're a spender, it's no problem. But if you're an investor, you think twice about it. But before you think twice about spending it, typically when we put our money in the bank, we get a pretty dismal rate of return, right? 0.5%, 1%, 5% at most, and if it's like awesome stock, 10 to 12%, okay. But actually when you give this money as a gift to your spouse, it's a lifetime of love. It's an investment, believe it or not. We have to come to terms with this, especially if my wife's love language, primary love language, is receiving gifts. Even if I'm the investor type, we have to consider it as being an investment. Sometimes there are intangible gifts. Intangible gifts, and I put up here your presence. And these are very critical, especially at times of crisis. Okay? My mother just passed away in Egypt, and, you know, I'm grieving. And you're not going to say, honey, you know, I've been here for a day or two comforting you, but I have a baseball game or I have to go, whatever. And you go. Here, what she really wants most is not an item, but she wants your presence with her. Sometimes, maybe your husband came home, and he had a horrible day at work. And you know, you had plans with your girlfriends to go out and go shopping together. But when you see him come home, وَشَكْلُ مَنْزَرُ كِدَ, you say, you know what, guys, send him a text and say, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Something came up. And believe me, at times of crisis, when they're the most needy, these are the times that they remember as expressions of love. That your presence with me is an expression of love. And I'll never forget it. The same goes, you know, with our children. If our children are in need for us for anything, typically we're there. But especially in times of crisis. I'm going to take off work, I'm going to do whatever, but focus my attention on you. And they will understand this as a communication of love. So these are the two primary love languages. I have an activity for you, so we'll spend a few minutes, I guess, answering these few questions. So we spoke about today, about quality time and receiving gifts. Does anybody have any general questions before I any read these? Okay, none of these questions are related to each other, so I'll answer them all. The first question, it says, my spouse spent many years in a job working overnight, and I feel it separates us. How do we mend this? Again, like I said here, if, you know, first I must, you know, address this with my spouse. Tell them how it makes you feel. Not that you don't like it, but how it makes you feel. When I come home, honey, and you're never there, it makes me feel alone. It makes me feel insecure. It makes me feel like I'm always scared about the kids and my and myself. So you need to explain to him how it makes you feel. And then, you know, from there, you take it. Are there other options? Is the work that you do, can it be done, you know, during the day? And then you can, you know, discuss with each other what the next steps can be if it can, if you can, you know, look for jobs during the day. And believe me, if this is important enough for your spouse to bring up, it's worthy enough to receive a pay cut. Sometimes we say, oh, best, we're going to receive a pay cut if I work during the day. But again, it'll be an investment. You will win your wife back or your husband back, and this will bring peace and happiness to the house. So I suggest that you address it with them, with him or her, and see what can be done in terms of the actual job. And just be patient, though, because this can take time. I love my spouse very much, but he or she always questions my love for him. So this tells me one. This tells me something. If I, my husband or my wife, knows that I love them, that means that I'm communicating their primary love language and they understand it. Okay? But if they question my love for them, then what does this mean? That I'm not speaking their love language. I haven't figured out what it is that they love and the language that they understand most and speak it. For example, if my husband's primary love language is words of affirmation, okay? He likes to hear how he's doing a good job and words of encouragement. But then I go and I get him a watch 1 week, and then I come around the next day and I get him a new computer, and then I talk about these things are great, but this doesn't tell him what that you love him. What's going to tell him that you love him is when he hears the words of affirmation. You know, you did a wonderful job when you fixed this. You know, you're always so good at doing this. So they affirm him by the right love language. So maybe the, you know, what you heard this week, last week, and God will, or you know, this month, last month, and next month, you will know all the five love languages and try to find out which one your spouse best understands. If we have a disagreement and I am not at fault, whom should take the first step? Taban, yani, who's at fault and who's not at fault, yani, it's very hard to determine. And I know just from the few years that I've been a priest, you can hear one side of the story from one party and you're like, how could he do this? And then you hear the same thing from him and you say, how could she do that? You know, so everybody can paint the picture to be, you know, the way that they want. But who's at fault? I think maybe if my spouse hasn't brought up the issue. And you know, sometimes there's this elephant in the room where things are awkward, we're not talking to each other, we're kind of passing by. It needs somebody to break the ice, to bring up the issue. You know, what's wrong? What did I do? And it needs humility. It really needs humility. Because sometimes, you know, I could be not at fault, but you know what? I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to hear you criticize me. And this tells me how you feel about whatever it is that I did. Okay, maybe in my eyes it wasn't wrong, but because it hurts you, I will stop doing this, or I won't do this. So I would pick a time where both of you are relaxed and can speak yani maturely and open the discussion, whatever it is the issue is that that you have. What if I have a demanding spouse and can't deliver what can be done? طبعا the demands is another yani subject yani, but you need to assess what demands are reasonable and what demands are unreasonable. And then, you know, again, the whole subject of these talks is how to communicate love so that your spouse understands. So say, for example, if I am not comfortable speaking my emotions, okay? I just wasn't raised that way. This means if I want to show her my love for her and express my feelings to her, I need to learn how to express my emotions. We can't just be satisfied and say, I can't do it, I wasn't raised this way. All of the love languages can be learned. There's none of them that can't be, that's just genetically, you know, instilled in us. So we can learn how to love as they want to, as they perceive it. So the demands have to be assessed and speak with each other, you know, very frankly. This demand, for whatever reason, I can't do, and we'll speak about it. But as, you know, the party that feels like I can't fulfill it, I need to be also, you have to be understand where the demand is coming from. Sometimes the demand might be difficult or hard, but what is actually the root of the demand will tell you what it is that they might need. Okay? I have a spouse who complains to his or her friends about our problems. What can I do? This is a big no-no. The problems within the family should stay within the family. And actually, if I know that my spouse is going outside to speak with friends, I need to take a look at myself. Why doesn't my spouse feel secure to come to me with her problems? You know what it's like? It's like your children going to yani Uncle Fulan to tell them their problems and needing help with their homework. How would you feel? You'd feel insulted, right? That means I'm not able to provide for my child. So if I know that my spouse is going outside to speak, there must be a deficiency in me. I'm not expressing to her or him that I love them enough for them to feel secure in our relationship and the point where she or he can tell me anything. Okay? So this requires a little bit of soul searching. If our relationship or marriage isn't stable and unhappy, what should be done? This is the subject of this whole meeting. We need to figure out why you're unhappy. What is the love language that you need to receive? Share that with your spouse. And the same goes vice versa. And begin to express it. It may be awkward in the beginning, but believe me, the results are proven. I love giving gifts, but he never likes what I get. Then it's trouble. What do I do? Maybe giving gifts, receiving gifts, is not his primary love language. You know, if any gift that you get and they don't really like it, then maybe you're trying the wrong love language. Try a different one. Not to say don't get him anything ever again. You get him. But that's not his primary love language, for sure. If it was, he would appreciate it. So find which other love language it is that is his primary and start working on that and devote 80 to 90% of your effort in that. I'm not sure if this is a joke or this is real, but my wife stopped buying me flowers. Again, if the husband feels that my wife didn't get me flowers, that means maybe his primary love language is receiving gifts, and flowers means that it makes him happy. Okay, I have activity, and we'll finish with this activity. You all will get a piece of paper. If we can begin passing that out, please. You all get a piece of paper, I'll have it be a questionnaire. I want you to fill this out by yourselves. Okay? So I know if you're sitting next to your spouse, don't talk to them. Just so this first 5 minutes or 7 minutes should be quiet. Okay? Fill out this paper, this questionnaire. Okay? After you fill out this questionnaire, you will have 10 minutes to get with your spouse. You have the whole banquet hall. So you can free to move around and go somewhere private to speak with each other. And I want you to give your piece of paper to your spouse and then look over it and discuss it. So you might find something new about your spouse that you didn't know. Okay? Does everybody understand what we're doing? First 7 minutes, individually, fill out this. And if your spouse isn't here, you can take one home and do it with them when you get home. Okay? I'll give you 7 minutes. Okay, I'll be kind. I'll give you 7 minutes from when you get the piece of paper. Okay, it should be quiet. Did everybody get a piece of paper? Did anybody not get one? Raise your hand. Okay, 7 minutes starting now. Again, if your spouses aren't here, take an extra one and you can do this activity at home. Okay. We'll give you 10 minutes. If you can take your spouse, you can stay there if you want, but I would suggest, Jenny, that it's just the two of you. If you're at a table that has many people, I suggest finding a spot where it can be just the two of you so you can speak frankly with one another. I want you to give your paper to your spouse, and they will read it, and then you can talk about them, okay? You have 10 minutes beginning now. Okay. I hope everybody used the time wisely and beneficially. We'll conclude with a prayer, and then Yanni, you're free to continue socializing, or if you want to get your kids, you can go get your kids. So, let's pray.